as a result of the work of the committee.
Hey. You know this member. Maybe I should start by just welcoming all of you so that you feel you are now in a meeting. We've got one agenda item, and this is the consideration of our own report emanating from our work as far as August last year. So we thought it would be important that the committee come together, look at its own work and reflection, and if the report is a true reflection of our deliberations at some point or observations, we should adopt those reports so that they can be processed by Parliament. We don't want to keep this amount of backlog in our system. We've got a lot of things to do. I'm just looking at the possible legislation that we have to process this year. So we need to move with this. The first report that I thought we should consider is a draft report on the annual report of the South African Revenue Services. It will be followed by the report on, annual report on National Treasury. And then we'll deal with our site visit report. Agreed? Do you agree that we should follow that pattern? My assumption is that this report was circulated a while ago, and therefore I assume that they've been read. If not, I would probably, if not, if there's anybody who says he or she has not been able to go through this report, can we afford ourselves probably 5 to 10 minutes to go through the report, all of them? Is there anybody who would want that space? If not, then we proceed with the report. Can I be guided?
Yeah, I think let's proceed.
Let's proceed. Okay, fine. Okay. Draft one, revenue services. Comment, page one. Page two. This goes into the archives. If we haven't applied our minds, you must know. It's going to reflect on us. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Page seven. Page eight. Doctor?
There was a lot of, I think the initial content is really factual stuff that, you know, which is fact. On the deliberations here, there were various things that we did discuss, in particular, and it is written here, but I'm not sure we've captured it entirely accurately. We said the concerns raised, the problems in the tax system and the required measures to address this. I don't think that's worded elegantly enough. I think it's very vague. You know, I'm not sure we're saying there's problems in the tax system as such. I think we're more saying that we need to actually look at the tax system as a committee. You know, for example, tax incidents, where does the tax get applied, how does it work in our economy? And I've alluded to this before, with the tax practitioners who have consistently said that they believe that our tax system is too complex and too complicated for the developmental stage that we're at. And so I think that's, my understanding is that's what we were talking about. At some point, we need to apply our mind to the thing known as the tax, very complex tax system, and does it do justice to our society? That's, I think, what we were saying on number one. Thank you, Chair.
With the outreach program, I think we said that when we do the changes as far as tax is concerned, the public is not aware of the taxation system as a system. So we will requesting the department to ensure that there are educational programs that are done to the community. But if you look at bullet number two, it talks about outreach to the public. Was it possible to undertake an investigation in order to establish the number of permanent branch officers? So it doesn't cover the other part.
The other part is more
enlightening
problem.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think also part of that discussion was also the issue about the social contract, that there are entities that should be paying tax that are not necessarily in the tax system, for example, the cash businesses, etc. And part of that outreach program is maybe a better understanding of, you know, why do you need to pay the tax and what is it used for, and therefore, socially, you should want to pay the tax. So we'd want to work on the culture of taxpaying, and I think that would tie into that outreach issue. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
It's just, thank you, Chair. I don't know why I think that I'm in caucus. I don't know why I keep up with it. I'm so sorry. Bullet two. When we were talking about refinements, staff indicated that refinements had to be made to tax laws. What were those refinements? I just need some clarity and some.
Yeah.
I thought it was a response to the issue that was raised by Dr. George to say that tax practitioners are saying the tax system is so complicated, there are so many procedures to follow and all those things. Therefore, they were responding to that to say they agree they need to refine some of the legislation and regulations in relation to tax administration.
Thank you, Chair. Further down on bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7th bullet, in brackets it says change sentence does not sound correct. I remember this quite clearly. The question was around the lag effect of the tax, and I think it was my question that I asked, and SARS answered it very eloquently, explaining that there had been a shift in the South African tax system where a lot of tax was applied to the personal income tax, and therefore the lag actually was the right way. But it was exaggerated because of the change in emphasis on where the tax is actually applied. So I think the sentence is correct if you leave it as a question. Thanks.
Agreed. Page 10. under the conclusions and proposed recommendations. Dr. George.
Thank you, Chair. We've already alluded to the discussions that we had in the document, but I suppose now it would be the case of, well, what are we as a committee going to be doing? And I would propose, I mean, we've already got two items there which I think are fine, but I do think we need to pursue the issue that we've raised before about having a look at our tax system. Now, it's a very complex issue, so we can't do it all at the same time, but we need to start maybe looking at various areas of it so that we as a committee can understand what is meant by complexity and should it be that way. And if it isn't, shouldn't, then how do we change it? So I think that the proposal should be that we need to start a process. I mean, my own personal view is that we need to have a commission at some point, to look into it. But if we can't do that, then we at least should initiate a process to start a conversation on that. And then also this issue about the South African Customs Union. I know it's been raised before and it's in the document here. The formulas, for example, SARS apparently are working on those, or my understanding is that it's been worked on. But I think we have an obligation as a committee, because there's a lot of outflow that happens from South Africa to our neighbouring areas. And we need to just look at that carefully and say, well, is that actually still appropriate for the current world that we're in? And I think that sits in this committee to do as well. So I would propose those two recommendations, that we start a process to be looking more closely at our tax system, and that maybe the SACU issue should be put onto the table. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I realize that the Honourable George made more of a general statement as looking at our tax system. But I thought it was going to be proper, actually, to specify that maybe the President also needs to look at, because remember there was this issue which came now and again, carbon emission tax. So if we can just include that on our recommendations, because it's like it gets mentioned, but you don't do anything about it. An environmental tax.
The issue of public participation in the refining of the tax laws is of critical importance, and I think we need to have a recommendation that says SARS must make sure that there is comprehensive public participation in the execution of the IGPs, that is, introduction of laws. And education alone is something else, but public participation in decision making, and then you educate. Now, when you educate, after having involved the public, it becomes a joint effort, some of the public educating the public about it. So it means the stakeholders in the business and the financial sector, including the public, is very good.
It speaks about ensuring that all eligible taxpayers are in the tax net, and that non-compliance should be minimized in order to close the gap on the revenue shortfall. Shouldn't you prefix this thing by, you see, there are areas where you've got people who are just involved in tax avoidance, but you've got people who are somehow ignored. And I think that these two problems, or requires a different approach in terms of remedy. Tax avoidance, I think, is not just a simple offense, it's a serious offense. And I think as a committee, we shouldn't just say we should minimize. I think punitive actions must be taken against people to do those sort of things. I don't have the actual way to phrase it, but I thought we should decouple deliberate efforts to undermine tax compliance issues in the country by individuals and corporates, but then also look into broadening the tax net by ensuring that people are educated and understand the importance of them contributing to their taxes. So I think you'll find a way to manage that. The disposal of counterfeit goods, I think it's more of illicit economy, because not just counterfeit goods, there's so much in the economy that is not within the tax bracket. So our focus should be more around strengthening the capacity within SARS to monitor and combat illicit economy. We can then table those issues. You've got abalone, you've got cigarettes and all those kind of things. So there's quite a number of issues within the illicit trade itself. And drug trafficking, of course, is part of an illicit economy. So I thought we should just unpack them a little bit if there's an issue, so that our recommendations are quite specific, you know, and we can begin to be applying our minds on the issues before us. The issue of the customs union, I think we should align ourselves with what we haven't had an interaction at the our level as a committee and the thinking within the trade and industry portfolio. What is the future of the customs union? And so on and so forth. There are people who are thinking about an integrated regional economy. So our recommendation must speak to those issues. And I don't think we've made enough research and interaction with the relevant sister structures within Parliament to understand the flow of things. It is always better for Parliament committees to make recommendations that talk to each other, not to be moving in divergent directions as one Parliament. Masili. All right. Okay. If we agree on that, I think the Secretariat will see the document and probably it will be circulated. Don't make that mistake first. Again, circulate it amongst members. And then if there's comments, honorable members can talk to the chair. Then we finalize it. But for now, we adopt it with this recommendation. Agreed? Thank you. National Treasury annual report. Last night, Ian? Then you're
Yeah.
Chairperson, thank you. As you're saying that this goes to the archives, and I reckon that this is basically an oversight report. Therefore, we must refrain from expressions that will not be scientific, or maybe the language that is very apologetic. I was just thinking, for instance, that how do I explain to a person who has lost a job? How do I go to that person and say, South Africa was not that much hard hit? You see, the fact of the matter, you need to be factual, the fact of the matter is that the recession affected South Africa. We must identify all the indicators of recession, job losses, and others, saying that to say that we were also affected
we don't have to qualify that. We were not hard hit. We're not the department. We were hit. And, as much as you cannot say we were hit hard, ne? You may not say you were not hit hard. You see? So that we need to also look into that language. I see it here. Thank you, Chairperson. On the third paragraph, you see, why South Africa has not been hit as hard. So I'm just against that kind of phrase. It's a buzzword, is that? Yeah. You did.
I think, Chairperson, it's balanced to say we've been hit hard, but not as hard as many other countries. I think that is a known fact. We cannot fight with that fact. But then it says there has been significant impact in terms of job losses and contractions in major sectors of the economy. But, you know, it is so. Because our economy was so well run, that's why we can say we were not so hard hit as other countries. But surely we were hit.
Mine is a clarity. I thought that this part was a presentation by the minister. So they recorded what the minister is saying. It's not a view of the committee. If I can get clarity, that I can be able to respond.
No, but Chairperson, it doesn't this is a committee report, it's not the minister's report. But DA doesn't indicate that it's not quoting the minister. It's the report, it is presented. That's why I was saying that we are not the department. It's the department that can apologize to you. We're not. My simple argument is that how do you explain to one person who has lost their job that say, we're not hit hard? That the recession, the recession affected us. It affected our economy.
Chairperson, maybe we could separate the two things. If yes, very much so, our economy was hurt very badly by the recession, and many jobs were lost, and people did experience a great deal of pain, and they still are, because we are emerging from it. But I think if you look at the global financial crisis, I think that's really what the minister seems to be talking about. In terms of the global financial crisis, we were miraculously spared a number of terrible things regarding liquidity. Our financial system was very stable still, etc. We didn't have that kind of problem. So we had a different type of problem. Our real economy was hit because it was going to happen. But in a financial part, we actually were relatively unscathed. Government did not have to bail out the banking system, and that was also quite a very good thing for us. So I do think that we were spared a section of this problem, but we were not spared in the fact that the fallout was extremely bad and will carry on being bad. But I agree with the sentiment that this is not what we said. This is what the Treasury said. Maybe we should just phrase it that way. Thanks, Jay.
Five.
You are very fast. I was just checking the on page 5, the 2.6, the program achieved the following. Well, I did not have the comfort of going through the threat plan, but that would not change my questions, because here they talk about the achievements in the threat plan, but we can't see this achieve. What is the benchmark? This achievement is achievement achieved against what? I'm not sure that I'm understanding. Because you talk of the achievement, I move from the basis that this is a committee report. It's not an annual report, the department annual report. This is an analysis of the annual report of the department. So when we say we achieved this, we need to be clear, we achieved this against what? What are our targets? See? Because the department may say so, it's fine, because the department wants to look nice, we have achieved this and this, but achieved against what? Are we satisfied as a committee?
No, I think I do understand what Honorable Sten is saying. Achievements are based on tangible measured targets. Now, we didn't have targets. Maybe we just need to change the phrasing there, then it becomes right. Maybe say analysis, minister analysis. I don't know what to say, but I don't have the right wording. But achievements, achieved is the wrong word there. We need to get something.
Maybe it's the way that we write reports here in Parliament. Yeah, that is confusing us. But I think this report by Treasury, they based it on their strategy plan that they presented or submitted to Parliament. Therefore, they were reporting under Program 6 as these areas they've achieved to do 1, 2, 3 under this program. Therefore, as a committee, towards the end, under discussions or recommendation, we may say what Treasury reported is actually not correct. Looking at the strategic plans, their reports, annual reports, this is not true. This is our position as the committee in relation to this matter. But in terms of what is said under this 2.6, it's what the Treasury reported to the committee. And under discussion, we may say whatever we want to say as a committee, to say what they said to us, we don't agree to that because of 1, 2, 3. We've done our own research. This is what is happening in this area. Thank you, Chair.
Your area as a committee and our conclusions on the committee.
You know where the problem is with what we are discussing now. If we look right on top, it says report of the committee on the 2009 annual report of the National Treasury. It's our report. But as you go down, then you discover that actually we are now analyzing what was reported to us by the Treasury. And so then you become right when you say, ours was just the discussions around what was presented by the Treasury. Then we make recommendation based on the content that this was presented to us.
The assumption we're making is that Treasury tends to meet with the committee
on their annual report. And this is what they then say under this program. This is what our plan, and for this program, this is the resources that they've been dedicated to, and this is what we've achieved in terms of those issues. And at that time, the committee has a right to interrogate treasury as they make a presentation. It's not like we're actually interrogating the report now. You interrogate the report at that time. And at the end, we as the committee, we make our own assessment. So basically what is captured is what they've reported to us. What needs to be reflected is what is it that the committee says. But you need to be careful not to say we don't agree with what treasury has reported with to us when we have not yet interrogated that particular report itself. Because we may actually go against the grain of the spirit of the report itself. But Steph?
No, I agree with you, Chairperson. I think as a committee, in terms of the annual report, we are not only going to depend on the presentation by the department, isn't it? You also have the hard copy of the report, don't we have that? And the third plan. Now we have researchers in this committee. The researchers should be able to compare that annual report with the strat plan on their own, you see, on their own. I was just giving you a simple example. For instance, our researcher would not say we're not hard hit, you see, but it's right for the department to say that. You see.
Yeah. Okay. We are on page. You're talking on page 5.
No, sorry. Just forgot in purposes. You please put your
mic. Okay.
Thank you.
You know, the political parties have come so close to each other and one another. Even when they're in committee, they think they're in caucus.
That's okay.
They think they are now in caucus. They are caucusing among themselves.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Can we pass page 5? But I think what Stan has actually raised is something that needs to be noted so that moving forward with some quality report of the committee, it is very, very important. And I hope, from our side, we should take this thing and see how best to improve on committee reports, not just to regurgitate. And I think that's the point that Honorable Mkimel is raising. We can't regurgitate what the committee, the departments, or institutions related to treasury and ourselves say to us and consider as a report of the committee. We need to do some in-depth analysis of those reports. We're on page 6.
Accounting officer. The sentence, the very first sentence, it says the audit committee has met 5 times per annum and confirmed that there were several issues that the auditor general raised in his report. So my concern is around the per annum, because here the reference is made on one financial year. It's not a report that speaks to more than one financial year. I'm sure we should, instead of saying per annum, we should be talking maybe about during this financial year. Because even the report that has been referred to of the AG is for that year. The year it's during this financial year. I tend to be corrected, but it is as if now we are, this is a broad arrangement that the audit committee has been meeting 5 times per annum.
Thank you, Chairperson. Under number 5, the report by the Auditor General, on the second paragraph, I can't remember anymore, but it says further the Auditor General reported that the extent of possible fraud allegations could as yet not be assessed. I can't remember what fraud allegations we were talking about. I can't remember, but it's too vague. We need to say something, if there was, what it was, or something. Unless I'm missing the point. Thanks, Jay.
Is there anybody who reminds me of paragraph number 2 under item 5, President of the Auditor General reported that
the extent of possible fraud allegations could as yet not be assessed. The statement is in vacuum. It doesn't talk to anything. Do you have anything that you could assist with?
If I can remember well, Chair, the National Treasury was actually given an unqualified audit opinion, but that was actually done during an investigation which had not yet been completed. So it means whatever the outcome of that investigation might actually have a bearing on the opinion that has already been given. So there was an investigation around fraud by the Special Investigative Unit, and already, even before that was actually completed, an opinion was actually made.
No, I'm not sure. Because I thought the content was based when the Auditor General was giving a feedback on the municipalities, the auditing of different municipalities. And as a result, there were other municipalities with its reports, and the fraud investigation was not yet completed.
I think I agree with the Chair, because obviously if they've now reached some kind of conclusion subsequently, we then need to apply our mind to it and say, okay, well, what was it? So if there is an issue, then what does it mean for us? Thanks, Chair.
No, I was just thinking, Chairperson, that I think there is one mistake that committees will always do in terms of understanding the oversight role. I think our oversight role will not only include physical inspection of maybe projects. Our oversight role will also include how we understand policies. I'm talking about this because you say the department has approved 7 departmental policies. As Parliament, we have a vision. For instance, we may have a vision to say that we want an accelerated service delivery. But there should be policies that talk to that vision, both internal and external. And it is also our duty to see that to have a description of policies. If there are policies that have been formulated, are they talking to that vision of Parliament? I think that should also be taken into consideration when we do our research, because I haven't seen that even in the recommendations. That's what I wanted to raise, Chairperson.
I have a problem with the first sentence under point 8. It's not clear what is it exactly that we want to say there. I want members to remind me what is it exactly that we were saying about the parliamentary office. What office is that, and how does it relate to this committee and the work of National Treasury?
Which paragraph? Oh. Dr. George?
Chair, yes, I agree that it isn't clear. I don't think we were asking the Treasury about setting up the office, because obviously that's our job to do. I think the conversation was more along the lines of, you know, the interactional process, you know, because obviously we're going to have a parliamentary office. The Treasury does various things, and I think it was more along the lines of when we start doing stuff in the budgetary office, you know, how does that thing hang together? You know, do they communicate with one another? If we come up with something that's different, do they comment on it? I think it was more around the process rather than them doing the thing in the office. Because I remember that clearly. And then on the issue of the state-owned enterprises a little bit later about targets as well, it's not clear on this either what we're meaning by that. I think we were talking about generally the state-owned enterprises. And I think we were talking a lot about the money that had been given to the state-owned enterprises. And I think also the issue about the valuation, Treasury's oversight, and that type of stuff that we were talking about. Thanks, Jay.
Honourable Mutimele,
they are right. Chairperson, on 7.4, labour relations, the first sentence, I don't understand this sentence. They say the hearing finalised total to 9. What is this 9? And then after that, there are a lot of speech figures here. And I don't know what is this 9 disciplinary hearings, 9%.
I agree that's one issue that needs to be clarified, but I'm not sure as to whether 8, we're at 1 on it. The point that you raised earlier, before we move to the next one. The committee wanted to know, and Dr. George responded. Is that, are we okay with that? All right.
Thank you, Chair. The point that Ms. Sibisla raised about the parliamentary office, I think that is, I think if I can remember correctly, Ms. Sibisla raised that with National Treasury in terms of their parliamentary office. I think the issue was to beef up the parliamentary liaison office, you know, in terms of the implementation of the new money, as in what role does that office will play to assist Parliament in the implementation. It's the National Treasury's parliamentary office. So there's no communication between committee and the ministry. So the context is correct. And then the issue of state-owned enterprises. You remember, you see this thing is shorthand, full stop, parliamentary office, full stop. And then the next sentence, national treasurer has not explained why the target on state-owned enterprises had not been reached and asked what the target was in the first place and how much of it had been actually achieved. And it sounds like a question that would normally come from me being at this one. So there was no explanation. You need to follow up on that. Yeah. Well, one of the things that we must concede is that we are dealing with millions for a report that was compiled, and the deliberations took place on the 21st of October 2009. Now, a lot has gone through our minds and brains in between. In compiling and finalizing this report, a little bit of revision may need to be done, and going back and check briefly, so that we capture the right stuff. So that if anybody was to get this report later on, it must make sense. What were we talking about? It's not like somebody walked in and found people sitting and said, she's a beautiful, and walked out. And we're all asking, is it a flower? Is it a human being? And nobody can explain what this person said. He just came in or she came in and said, she's a beautiful, and walked out. And we're all asking ourselves, what is he talking about? What is he referring to? Okay. Page... where are we now? Page 9. Yeah, we're on page 9, yes. Timele? Honorable?
No, I just asked for clarity on this one on 7.4. This first sentence. Yeah.
Hearing finalized, total 9. Yeah, 9 cases. Just make sure that it's clear. All right. Page 10. No reading was done before. Okay. One more minute to read. Page 10. Questions of clarity on page 10? Page 11.
Thank you, Chair. I want to make a recommendation for the committee. in the manner we deal with the reports that come before this committee, whether by Treasury or any other person that appears before this committee. Normally, we'll receive the report or the presentation and we'll ask questions to that presenter. After that, we don't give ourselves time to engage in order to reach a particular conclusion or decision on that presentation, so that we are able to report to the House on what we as the committee have agreed on, and we had time to discuss, agree, or do not agree on that issue. So I want to propose that in whatever report that comes before us, we at least allocate a day, maybe in a week, to say we've received these reports during the week, three or four of them, and we allocate a day to engage and then write a proper report in terms of what we see and feel as the committee.
And that's not our recommendation to the House, an in-house.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with that. I think we don't, as a committee, do enough of that. I think we do to an extent, but we should do more of it. Obviously, the recommendations, we went through this and a number of items were raised. I would like to propose something along the lines of the state-owned enterprises. We have spoken about it in here. And also the municipalities, the smaller municipalities. We speak, the issue came up about the funding, you know, that they have a problem with that, you know, and their rate base is running short and so on. So I think it's very, very important for Treasury. It's already doing stuff, but I think we need to have a recommendation in here that there must be some kind of guidelines or intervention or process that Treasury is following regarding these municipalities that basically have run out of money or unable to manage their money, and now the service is not being delivered. So I know there's interventions in place, but I certainly think that that noise is getting much louder. And so I think we must be focusing on that. And then also on the state-owned enterprises, we did speak about them meeting targets and appropriately spending money because they get bailed out, etc., that there needs to be some kind of guidelines regarding how these enterprises are managed. Obviously, it's a process we need to look at. Like, for example, you know, how they remunerate their executives and things, because this, at the end of the day, is in fact taxpayers' money. So I'd like to propose that, just a sorted line regarding discussion on guidelines for the state-owned enterprises or something like that. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to recommend that we also put it in writing, if I remember, and it was raised by myself, the IPAC and the SAC, where we said that this economic partnership agreement, we had a problem when we had our visit at Devon Port, at the port, where we said, yes, the goods, they do come to the port. And then because of this IPAC agreement, at the end of the day, South Africa shouldered a lot of overheads. I don't know how to put it, but we shouldered a lot of overheads. And we find that other countries like Zimbabwe and others, they receive more, their net or the bottom number becomes bigger than ours. And I don't see it coming here. I can see that they just do it, the IPAC and the SAC, but it's not quite clear that our main concern when we're engaging with the National Treasury was that whether they need to discuss it jointly with the DTI, because it is a serious problem when the goods arrive at the ports, and because of the agreement that was signed, we shoulder all the overheads. People offloading the vessels and doing all that, and what they do, they just get the profit at the end of the day. And then secondly, we also look at our
our other concern was about our the disposal policy, which I don't see it here. I don't know when. I would think that if we put that going hand in hand with what I'm saying regarding the IPAC and the SACU, and then lastly say something about the special pensions, because when we met with the National Treasury in October, they were going to launch the special pensions. As to how far have they gone? Are they now nationally at the offices? Are they there nationally? Are they working? If they're working, what is the communication? What is the community participation as far as that is concerned? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Bisa.
Thank you, Chair. I think the first point that Mr. Mimi, Honourable Tubazana raised, was covered under SARS report in relation to a review of SARS formula and the impact of IPAS on the regional economy. We have agreed to have joint meetings with trade and industry to discuss the matter and make necessary recommendations. Chairperson, I wanted to add on the point that was made by Dr. George on following up on the expenditure patterns of local municipalities and provincial governments. I want to suggest that we, in each and every month before the 7th, we meet the treasurer to report to us on the expenditure patterns of provincial government and local government municipalities, so that we can make interventions at that time rather than waiting for the end of the year and then raise all these issues. I think it would be important for us to interact with them monthly on this matter so that we can detect this problem early in the year. Thank you, Chair.
Any other input?
Some more input? Okay.
Maybe just a general comment, following what the Honourable Visa said in terms of what the committee should do moving forward, once one considers this is somehow an old report, but also we must put it within the context of what was happening at the time, last year. And if you all recall, we had almost a Fraser pump driven sort of a program. And at some point you'll take almost 4 to 5 presentations at a day. And I don't think the committee had time to apply it much. And we never had time to come back as a committee to have received this presentation. What is our own assessment and how do you internally relate to that? What are our recommendations item by item? Because, you see, the annual report speaks to the strategic plan. Now, if prior to that meeting of getting this report or annual report from the National Treasury, the committee itself through its own research capacity has not been able to analyze what are the sorts of things that must be teased in that kind of a meeting, we are unable to actually interact vigorously with each and every submission. My sense is each and every sub-item or project after it has been presented, we should not be asking questions of clarity only. We should be engaging with that particular presentation. And the report will then indicate the issues that we raised under that particular program. When you go to the recommendations, you just follow the things that you raised. But clearly here we're just receiving. It's very, very clear to me that were recipients of reports asking questions of clarity. There was no work done amongst ourselves or within the committee or on behalf of the committee by the researchers. And I think by the time our researcher was not very well. He actually passed away, if you remember, almost around about that time. So we as a committee had difficulties. and I think I did report in the committee that he has left us. But the issue is being attended to. So I think we should do that moving forward. Let's research before we receive any input, not just the administration. What are the issues that are pertinent? We meet with the South African Reserve Bank. As a committee, we might not even have done anything except go into that meeting, ask questions of clarity on very complex matters, and then later on want to compile a report. The report obviously is going to talk to what we were told, not what we think about those issues. But it's one of the weaknesses that Parliament has had over a number of years, which needs to be corrected. So I think we should pass this report. I don't know if there's anything that we'd want to say under conclusions and recommendations. If not, we pass, and then we're going to do this further work, and then we'll circulate back to the members, and thereafter it must go. The last report is the site visit, which is more of a practical report. To Durban on the 11th and 12th of August 2009. Last year, Miniere and Fomente. Last year, last year. Just in terms of composition of the team, you'd probably notice on page 2 that some of the people who were members of this committee are no longer members of the committee, they've been replaced. So not everybody will be able to contribute on the content of the report itself. Can we move on? Page 1, nothing. Page 2. Last 3. Page 4. Page 5. Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've got under number 11, the new international airport at the Mercy. I'm not quite sure why it's in here because we didn't go there. And also, we were supposed to go to the airport, I think it was Durban Airport at the time,
mm-hmm.
but we never went there either. So, I don't know if this is just for information, but I know we went to the harbour, so I can see the relevance of having stuff about the harbour. But I don't think we should put anything about the airport because we didn't go there. So it's just like saying, well, okay, here's an airport, but what relevance is it? So maybe it should just come out. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. George. Before we went on the site visits, SARS presented us, the thick little book that they presented us, and this was part of the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're correct. We can just use it either as information purposes or we can remove it, but we didn't actually go to the airport.
Same applies as before. Thank you, Chair.
Page 7. Page 8. Page 10. Dr. George?
Thank you, Chair. On the very last sentence of that page, how do we prevent things like illegal abalone? We also raised the issue of stolen copper. So maybe just add there, and stolen copper from leaving the country.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I remember there was a question by Honourable De Lozano about the cost-benefit analysis of that machine, I think it was. Yes. And we won't go into the boring details that followed because that was resolved very eloquently by the committee. But I don't know if you ever got an answer, but it was a very important question. Which SARS was a little reluctant to actually answer. But I do think we should put it in there because I think it's a very important question. Thank you, Chair.
Page 9.
Chair, it's not there at all. Wondering if SARS wrote the report.
Long-winded response on that issue of the scanner. So it was a very long answer. Yeah. Page 11.
The last bullet currently human trafficking is not a crime. It's old, I know, but... not criminally act. It's not a crime. I think not a criminally act. Not...
I think the challenge was that under the act that prescribes what is a crime, human trafficking is not one of those acts that are stipulated there. So it's a challenge in terms of how do you prosecute the offenders of that act. So I think that is the challenge with dealing with human trafficking in the justice system as a whole. Because,
yeah.
And I think there's some work that is being done to try and ensure that.
I think that the yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But I think the constitutional court is in our recommendations.
Maybe check to substantiate that why SARS they say human trafficking is not treated as a crime in South Africa.
Page 13 on record. Nothing is said about the dog here. Is there? The dog.
Dog.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not. Oh, the dog unit, yeah. Okay.
So, what was raised by Dr. George regarding, I think it has to be added on point 14.4 regarding the scan. Concern about, yeah.
Doctor George,
thank you, Chairperson. One recommendation that I'd like to add is we were supposed to go visit the airport in Durban, but we didn't go there. But I would very much like to go visit the Oliver Tambo Airport with the customs, because I think that's a very big operation there. And I've heard a bit of noise coming out of there. So I'd very much like to go and have a look for myself at how that operation actually works. Thank you, Chairperson.
Page 15.
Under 15.2, I want to add that we also add marine transport, because some of the members were discussing the issue of offloading vehicles from our roads. We must also begin to discuss the issue of introducing a marine transport system. Whether that was a proposal, whether
what are we saying as a committee about that visit?
Yeah. I'm just thinking because, you know, after our visit in Durban, we visited the port then. We could not visit the airport. There is the issue of the border coordinating something. Yeah, BCOCC. Yeah, coordinating committee. I'm just wondering because I see Home Affairs and probably another portfolio committee might have undertaken visit to the Bay Bridge. It's a border post, which, as far as I'm concerned, is one. It is that one and the Mpumalanga one in KwaZulu-Natal, Mozambique. But probably the Mozambique route is becoming the most, the busiest in terms of trade, coming and going. And you've got the Bay Bridge one, the Zimbabwe one. There's all sorts of things happening there. Airports, there are all sorts of activities happening. OAP Tambo is one of them, but you also got other airports, landing strips, which are found in farms and all sorts of things. Private game farms, in fact. It may not be directly linked to us, but in terms of this work, what it says to me, there's a need to really find a way to coordinate our work, so that if there's a visit, it's not just about the police ministry. One of the things that they are raising is that if you look at the security component at the airport, the police are right at the back. Customs actually managed by officials and so on and so forth. Now, how do you actually revisit this issue of the border coordinating committee? So that as we say we're going to visit international airports, our observations should be corroborated by our counterparts so that we can make a proper recommendation to Parliament to say, this is what we want to see happening to deal with this kind of issues. So I'm just saying, yes, I agree, but I think we should broaden it a bit so that we have got maximum impact on this matter.
I want to qualify the proposal. I'm not sure about our program soon after the first week after the recess. If we do not have commitments in that first week, can't we use that week to do our oversight in all these areas? Don't kill me. Thank
you. Brent is smiling. I'm sure he's just thinking, you've got no space in your program. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, Ms. Sibisla, the committee program is fully packed because after the, during the first week of Parliament, we are dealing with budget votes of National Treasury and budget votes of SSA. The only thing that I can see that is available is from the 11th of May. There's a few days in May that we can look at and maybe go during that period. But after this constituency period, it's the whole budget vote process because Parliament needs to approve the appropriation bill. And after that process also is the taxation laws period where, remember the tax proposals that the minister made in February, that needs to be written into legislation. That is a draft taxation law. So after that is that period also. But in May, yes.
Yeah, I think we should try to work around May. A lot of members. If my memory serves me well, I think there's an issue around the reserve bank in and around that time. Okay, but let's see how we can find a way.
to deal with this.
Page 15. Sie entlasten. Can we have a move and a second for this report? Oh, second. Thank you. This is the shortest meeting I ever had with this committee. Processing three reports at a go. Any other thing?
Chairperson, I can ask a clarity question on the revenue proposal, because we've now changed the way we operate, obviously. So we've been through the fiscal framework and the revenue proposal in the beginning of the process. So we've gone through that, and I think essentially we've said that, well, certainly I've said that we support the revenue, the fiscal framework and the revenue proposal. And so, you know, the process we're going forward now, what are we really doing? Are we now saying, well, we've accepted the proposals as they are and then we're just going to write them into law? Or are we going to be having deliberations on them? Because in theory, you can't really change them, can you? So I'm maybe just a little confused there. Thanks, Jay. Yes, Jay.
I think you have answered yourself at the same time. In terms of the fiscal framework, we've made our own recommendations to Parliament. Budget proposals, the same. I don't think there's much that I can say in that regard. But perhaps what we should be focusing on is what do we need to do beyond the cycle as a committee. The issue that we normally complain about, how do we capacitate this committee before the next cycle, which is your medium-term budget policy statement. I think that's where the issue is going to be. And the reports before that, you know, how do we interact with that committee and so on and so forth. If I understood your question, I think that's what I would prefer to say for now. Unless, directly, you want to elaborate more, Ms. Fisher, fine. Yeah. It's a complex process. It's very complex. It's a very complex process. I don't like using the word complex because it disarms you. You don't think you are rendered, and you have always said in our deliberations that you don't want to accept the notion that says the committee does not have capacity. We've done well so far. We've done well with the limited capacity that we have, but we can do much better and do more as we move on. Honourable members, you'll recall, you'll probably be aware that this might be our last meeting for the term. I don't think we'll have another meeting in this session for the term. Now, somebody very creative here has written this thing to say we should close by celebrating birthdays of those members born between January and March.
Including the chair.
We have a cake in champagne. Very creative members around ourselves here. Where is the champagne? Do you have it here? Oh, I see. Okay. Who were born between January and March? No, I know, I was born of woman folk, unlike Macbeth, so I know. Nyambul, were you born? Okay, no, let's congratulate those who have seen the very important day of their being and coming into being in a particular year. We don't know what year was that. We're too afraid to count now, because it may suggest that the journey is just about to be completed. Thank you. Yeah, we'll toast.
On behalf of those that were born between that month, since I was born in January, so I would like to thank the thoughts and appreciate it on behalf of the group. Thank you very much, I really appreciate it.
Nambut. Utenwa. You see, he doesn't move him, this thing of being born. Born into the world of problems. Okay. No, thanks. From my side, I think I must just thank committee members for being so cooperative. You have made the work of the committee much easier. And the good thing is that we have never gone to an extent of making a decision through a vote in this committee. That to me is a very important step in ensuring that democracy prevails. Democracy should be through consensus on almost that everything that we do. And so far, I think even the majority party in this case has exercised their majority domination, if one wants to use that word, very, very cautiously, but constructively at the same time. And also from your side, Doctor, and those who are not here, honestly, I think we've worked as a team, and we're looking forward. We did not become obstructive on any other issue. And even our debates in the House, we complement one another. You know, as much as we allow ourselves to raise party issues or party positions in the House, but they are in line with what we discussed here, which was very, very, very critical for us. Sometimes it makes it very difficult for the chair when he takes the podium to say, on whose behalf am I speaking now? You know, I try to be in to balance, you know, so that nobody feels left out in the process of our work. Thank you very much.
Oh, what is it?